In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. I've never felt like my co-host John Lopez is more of a sicko than what I just experienced right before we came back.
To be fair, I am a sicko.
Yes.
Yes.
And I will call myself a sicko in various different ways. I watch all sorts of basketball games.
Yeah.
Sometimes I watch preseason basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I watch all sorts of international soccer,
mm-hmm.
All sorts of different women's sports. I recognize there's some college
football.
We watch
a lot of the same things.
Yeah. But I don't think I've ever been so sick as to join a college football bowl game pool
mm-hmm.
where you have to pick every single bowl game.
And you,
Figgy,
yeah,
45 games,
yeah.
And you have to rank them by confidence, and he's picking 45 games.
Yeah.
That's sick.
That's crazy.
That's
like,
sick behavior,
like,
man.
Oregon over James Madison, I'm going to make that my 45-point game.
That's sick.
Yeah. And, like, if you don't have a lot of confidence, like Alabama, Oklahoma, you can make it, like, a 2 or 3-point game and make your pick. So, yeah, man, it's what it's all about.
I mean,
that's why the bowl games
you
are
know
not
that's
going
sick
anywhere.
When Reggie's sitting there saying
you know, I mean, like, he's picking the Cheez-It Bowl and
Coastal Carolina versus Louisiana Tech. Who you got?
Brother, I have no idea. I have not watched the Chanticleers play football once. Not
have fun.
Once this
that's
season.
Who I got. Everybody
yeah, okay.
just have fun.
Yeah, that's right. So that
I just
is
want
wild.
The kids to have fun.
That is absolutely yeah. sick behavior that you got going there. But let's talk a little bit about Kamari Lassiter, because Kamari Lassiter is a fascinating player. I thought I was deeply impressed. One of the most impressive in this game, right? Jalen Petrie obviously ends up being one of those. He's top three most impressive players in this game, is he not, Kamari Lassiter?
For sure. 100%. Not just the coverage on the one in the end zone, but the one down the left sideline as well. And just a monster. We're really seeing him, like, you know, grow, so to speak. He was good last year. He was good earlier in the year, but I think he's really growing even more now.
Yeah, of a second year players, like he's the dude who felt like he was. Oh man, he understands his role. He's mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it was the pairing of Derek Stingley on one side, and Kamari Lassiter was finding his own ability on that side, for lack of a better term. And mm-hmm. he was getting love in the national sphere, and he's gotten better.
Yeah,
he's gotten better in that. The physicality shows up a lot. He's gotten more. Teams are attacking him more mm-hmm. as they try and stay away from Stingley, and he's answering the call. This was D'Amico Ryans on the coach's show yesterday talking about the football IQ and the toughness of one Kamari Lassiter.
Yeah, it starts with the toughness. He's just one of the toughest guys I've been around. That's off the chart. You know, he's dealing with the foot injury, and he's dealing with a lot of pain. A lot of people wouldn't know that by how he played, but he's dealing with pain. But I saw him walking. I was like, man, you going this week? It's like, Kalen was walking with him. Yeah. He's like, oh, coach, he doesn't have a choice.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah. You know, he's playing, and that's his mindset. I know that's Kamari's mindset. Man, he's talk about a physical corner. He made a ton of great tackles for us, you know, playing behind the line of scrimmage, the blitz. Yeah, it was a call blitz. He's supposed to be there.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. No, he made a great play there, hitting Mahomes. He's just all over the field.
And by the way, on the injury, they really didn't decide until pregame warmups.
Not if you listen to Caleb Bullock. Well, like Caleb Bullock there, decided. And then also in the locker room after the game, I think it was Aaron Wilson got video of it where Caleb Bullock was like, y'all thought he wasn't going to play. He was always playing.
Yeah.
And those dudes are like inseparable, Caleb Bullock and Kamari Lassiter. But yeah, the idea that it was never a question, at least in his homeboy's mind, that he was going to play. Mm-hmm. He goes out there, and not only does he play, I think he played one of the best games that you had on that field.
He absolutely did. You know, you can talk about Petrie and Azeez Al-Shaair and some of the other things they did defensively. Lassiter was right there. He's just the confidence level that he has. And you know, obviously he shared it with, was it Ocho Cinco?
On the nightcap.
Like who wants to come?
You want to, let's get this. Cause Kamari Lassiter was on the nightcap podcast, Chad Ocho Cinco and Shannon Sharp. And Kamari Lassiter was asked about, you know, who comes off the bus first. You know, the old, you know, you have a guy come off the bus first to kind of intimidate the opponent. This is Kamari Lassiter's answer.
If you can only send one person off the bus first, like they the dog, they the intimidator, like they the, if you have to send one person off the bus first, who going off the bus first?
Me, probably. Hey, to be honest, me. I'm with whatever. Dang. I'm with whatever. I ain't gonna lie.
Hey, let me ask real quick. Hey, so look. Yeah. He wow.
Me, and frankly, I don't disagree too much.
I mean, I disagree, but it does not matter if I disagree because he don't like not a second of thought.
No, say it to his face,
and I will not. I will absolutely. Kamari Lassiter has the. I don't even know how to do, because I was gonna say he has like Black Air Force energy, except it's way more eloquent, right? And it's a lot more refined. It's not just like run up in your trap, take over your trap, but it has that essence. But it's focused. It's like that's the thing that's fascinating. He's got across the street from that dude energy. Except it's not across the street. It's very much one that you want to embrace. It falls into authority. Mm-hmm. It does exactly what you need. It's not wild. It's not unvarnished. There's no wonder that D'Amico and Kirby Smart gush about this dude because that's the level of player.
Nah, he's the type of guy that's like he's kind of quiet a little bit, but I don't know about him, man. I'm scared of him. Even though he kind of, you ever seen somebody that was so quiet that scared you to death?
Yeah, Derek Stingley.
Yeah.
And, see, saying?
But Derek Stingley doesn't seem like, oh man, I don't know what's happening in his brain. He might do, Derek Stingley just seems like he's chilling. Yeah. Kamari Lassiter he's capable of anything.
He looks scary, but he's not like all up in your face type scary.
Look,
he ain't selling you no wolf tickets.
Derek Stingley is that guy, and you're right, Reggie. He doesn't look scary. He looks like just a regular dude, but he puts his hoodie on, he walks into the building, you know, eats a sandwich and goes to practice.
So he's a lunch pail guy.
He is the epitome of a lunch pail
a
guy.
A superstar lunch pail guy.
Although some people would disagree with the character reference there, but that's neither here nor there.
I wonder why.
He is. Derek Stingley is a very quiet. Doesn't say five words, lunch pail
I'm
guy.
Coming here to do my work.
Yes.
But he exudes confidence with it.
Kamari Lassiter, to your point, he might, it's like in that locker room, I think it's a lot different. I think he is, and you kind of got a taste of it right there in you know, with the way he was talking. Me? What are you talking about? Me?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and he does have the crazy eyes too.
He does. Yeah. He does. Yeah. I appreciate this from the 832. Always love you guys keeping me honest here. That actually was not a Nightcap podcast. I don't know why I got to that place. Oh, that was Speakeasy, Emmanuel Acho, and LaShawn Shady McCoy. That was the podcast there. So apologize for getting that incorrect. But you still get that same energy from Kamari Lassiter. I want to go back to the coaches show. This is D'Amico Ryan's Cut 10, if you will. This is him talking more about Kamari Lassiter and redeeming qualities that he demonstrates.
Yeah, the urgency I'm speaking about is the urgency when I talk about our third downs where we're up against the clock, like the urgency of getting.
I think the best redeeming trait about Kamari is, let's say, like he gives up one pass on the sideline there. They're backed up. He doesn't blink. He comes back the next play. He's chasing the tight end across the field. Like, we're relentless. You can't catch the football on him. He runs down deep. He comes back up. He sets the edge on the next play. Like, he's just so even keel. He's so in the moment. He has this next play mentality. Yep. And he's so locked in. And I think that confidence that he shows, like, you can't fluster him. No matter if you catch a ball on him or not, he comes back. He picks the ball off.
Yeah.
So he's a guy who just, you know, can't be messed with. People keep trying him. And he's proven over and over again that he can make those plays.
You know, what he said there, though, is absolutely maybe what separates Kamari Lassiter, even from Derek Stingley a little bit, even though Derek Stingley is all pro and nobody's taking that away from him, I think he does more things at a really high level. Like Derek Stingley, you know, obviously he's the best cover corner in the NFL for my money.
I don't know where you're going with this, Lopez.
I don't know if he's a great tackler. We've talked about it.
Okay.
You know?
He is willing, though, and I give him that credit.
I don't know if he's a blitzer.
No.
You know, so what I'm saying is Kamari Lassiter can blitz.
He saved himself. He heard that fig. I was afraid he was going to do the thing.
He can blitz. He can tackle. He can cover wide receivers, small wide receivers, large wide receivers.
He can move inside.
Tight ends. Yes. Yeah. All of that. He can play on the line. He can play off the line. He can play zone. He can play man. Derek Stingley is the best cornerback in the NFL for that particular job description. I think Kamari Lassiter can do a lot of things at a high level.
And I love this from the 2A1. Lassiter is Denzel Washington's equalizer character, dormant until messed with.
That's it.
Yes. You can think of that action. Mm-hmm. Like John Wick, just like, I'm not doing nothing to nobody. Don't come over here and kill my dog, though.
Yeah.
Like, it goes crazy. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. Can I take you back to the 2024 draft? Can you imagine, right? Because Kamari Lassiter, second round, pick number 42. The two picks immediately ahead of him were also cornerbacks. You had Cooper DeJean at 40. You had Kool-Aid McKinstry at 41.
I remember Kool-Aid.
Can you imagine
yeah.
if either of those teams selected Kamari and you had to select from Cooper DeJean? Like, this team does not look anywhere near the same. And that's with all due respect to Cooper DeJean.
Yeah, Cooper DeJean's fine.
Kool-Aid McKinstry. Yeah.
Which everybody wanted at the time, too.
Oh, yeah.
When he went off the board, everybody, I was at the draft party, everybody was like, oh, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was a lot of criticism about the Kamari Lassiter bit because his – is
speed.
Yeah, it's 40 time, I want to say.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, some of the plays he made just Sunday night, he caught up with Rashee Rice.
Yes.
And broke up a pass.
Flipped his hips fluidly.
Yes.
And I think that the crazy thing about that is he is playing one of the hardest position in, or the most derided position in sports, which is the other cornerback. Yeah. Everybody loves cornerback one, unless your cornerback one is just putrid. Everybody loves cornerback one. Cornerback two gets a lot of hate because that's the cornerback teams are going to attack.
Yeah.
Right? When you're opposite of that guy, especially when that guy is him, like Derek Stingley is, right? I see you on the YouTube page. Sting is the best cover corner in the league. There's absolutely, without question, an argument for that. Mm-hmm. And that isn't the cornerback one. So, even more so, you would imagine cornerback two is a dude who fans would look at as, damn, all right, here we go with that other guy because everybody's attacking him. Yeah. Not even close.
No, not even close. And Sting, for what he does, he's even, you know, even puts that extra pressure on Kamari Lassiter. But living up to that pressure, that you could say that's one of the most difficult jobs in football is to be the other cornerback. That might be the most difficult job in football.
Yes, because cornerback itself. Like, I think about this all the time. Sometimes you just stop and, like, reflect on something. And oftentimes for me, it's sports because, again, sickos.
Yeah.
But just how unfair it is what we ask cornerbacks to do. Hey, that guy, one of the fastest people in the world, sometimes running a 4.2-something 40, he's running forward, he knows where he's going, and he has all of the rules bent to his advantage. I want you to mirror him running backwards, not knowing where he's going and having all the disadvantages of the rules. Go do it.
Yeah.
That's so crazy that we ask guys to do that. And Kamari Lassiter
and be the guy that's picked on more.
There you go. And Kamari Lassiter has answered that incredibly, incredibly well. And look, I see you 713. Clint wasn't the biggest fan of Kamari Lassiter pick. There's a lot of people who weren't the biggest fan. You can look at, I've talked about the foot speed as recently as last week. And even still, in places where you go, I don't know. He answers and he says, I do, right? Like, I could take you back to that response. Like, who's coming off the bus? Me. Yeah. That level of confidence continues to show up. Can you give me the other Kamari Lassiter cut from the speakeasy? Because this is the reason why, I think. Like, this is the reason why, not only you see this from Kamari Lassiter, but this is the reason why coming down from D'Amico Ryans, this works for this team. This is why the defense is what it is. Kamari Lassiter on what's more to do here?
Beat Josh Allen. You beat Patrick Mahomes. Have you turned a corner in your mind?
No, sir. It's still the hay's not in the barn yet. I feel like we're finna go back to practice this week. We finna look at all the plays that we gave up. There's so much more that we can do. There's so much more. So we just gotta tap in and not get complacent. I feel like complacency is the enemy of success. So we just continue to just keep grinding, keep going. And this guy's learning for us.
D'Amico got these boys right.
D'Amico got them locked in right now.
And that's 100%. Like, it's bought in, And you pair that, like, that dogged mentality mm-hmm. that you have in a Kamari Lassiter with that, you know, the refinement of, yeah, all that's cool. I'm him. I'm walking off the bus. I'm intimidating. But there's still more to do. I think that that is probably the single most encouraging thing about the Texans. It's why they come back from, you know, 0-3 to now being, what is it, 8-5 with the opportunity to finish with 12 wins this year. Like, that inherently is there. You're a dog in your work and your capabilities, but then also you still keep your head down and do the work.
You know, you talked about one of the things that you like to do is, you know, just sort of sit back and contemplate. One of the things I like to do is when you see a player like this, especially the, you know, the big time giants and all that, and he's not a giant, but like you go back to their high school. How good was he in high school?
Oh, that's so unfair.
So let me give you some numbers. His senior year, 210 tackles. 10 interceptions.
Wait, press pause. Press pause.
Wait a minute.
Just 210 tackles alone.
I'm sorry. During his high school career.
Entire. I was about to say, like, what is happening?
Yeah, 210 tackles, 10 interceptions, 4 forced fumbles. That's pretty good, right? Oh, yeah, he also played offense. He played both ways. 2,500 yards receiving, 35 touchdowns.
Man.
It's like we're playing the Lassiters this week.
Yeah, that's the thing. I imagine the game planning for that because – Where do you go to high school? Do you know?
He actually went to American Christian Academy in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Okay, I was like,
but he's from Savannah, Georgia. If you didn't pick up on that,
I'm like,
got a great accent.
Yeah, I'm like, I wonder if that was one of those situations where one dude on the team to worry about, circle him, and that's fine. Or was that one of those? There's other dudes to worry about. So you're already sick about Kamari Lassiter over here, but then there's that guy over there too.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. I can't. Well, I mean,
forget
I can
about the
some
quarterback.
Degree.
He probably got a nice little quarterback.
That's
too.
Interesting. It's a small school, a smallish school. Yeah, American Christian Academy.
Yeah.
That's
so again, but still,
yes. 35 touchdowns on offense, 10 interceptions on defense.
I don't want those problems. You
know, somebody like that, you just do your thing, bro.
Yeah.
We worry about everybody else. Yeah. We let you get yours.
Yeah.
And
well,
this is why it's so important as a society that we take the stories of. Man, this one time that I got absolutely torched by a great player as a badge of honor as opposed to a reason for to deride a person.
Yeah.
Because if you did, it would cause mental issues. Can you imagine having, like, you know, I played against Kamari Lassiter in high school. I played against Derrick Henry in high school and just have to carry that without being able to laugh
Derrick
about
Henry's
it.
The all-time.
That's, yeah, because
Derrick Henry is the all-time.
Huge. And I see you 281 on the text line. Honest question, has speed ever actually proved to be a problem for Kamari Lassiter? Small, in very small moments.
Very little, yeah.
But he absolutely 10
he
times
up
over
in other
makes
ways,
up for
though.
It.
He does.
Yeah.
He
10
does.
Times over. Yeah. So, yeah. Salute to Kamari Lassiter. Clearly a dude who, when D'Amico talks about him, he gushes about him. And you see why, especially in a game like Kansas City. Interceptions, physicality, all of it on display. And it's part of why this defense is just so damn great and one of the best in all the league. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. It's that time where we hand things over to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What you got?
Yeah, could the city of Houston be getting way too high-tech-ish and advanced? Well, I got a couple things that's set to happen in Houston, and you might be interested, but you also might be a little nervous about it.
Hmm. Huh. Okay. Interesting tease. I would like to see what it is.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Next. Yes, it is the Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man, Figgy Fig, holding it down on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to everyone out there. I feel like it's getting a little, too advanced in the city of Houston now. We talked about the whole Waymo thing coming to Houston, I want to say next year. We see it's a disaster in L.A. pretty much.
I'm planning my attacks on Waymo.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it because
except not mine. If anybody's listening,
did you see what they did in L.A. Real quick, Figgy.
What it in L.A.?
Yeah, a group of like 10 friends.
Oh yes, I did see this one.
Went to the longest dead end street in L.A. and all called for a Waymo, and so 10 Waymos. Drove up and were like lost.
They were just like stuck trapped. There for, I think, like, what was it, like 30 minutes to an hour or something
like that?
They
were trapped.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like that's becoming the way of the world, and it could be the way of the city because, first of all, I just want to salute all the truck drivers out there.
Without question.
Yeah. I know a bunch of them listen to us while they on the roads, and they be on the roads day and night and all that stuff all throughout the night. But a local company in Houston is trying something for the first time. And I think it might tick off the truck drivers out here. So here's KHOU with this update.
Bot Auto just hit a major milestone in autonomous trucking. The Houston-based company completed its first fully driverless test run. So no one in the cab, no one in the backseat, no one controlling it remotely. The truck handled Houston traffic on its own, even at sunset, proving the company says that it can operate around the clock. The company adds this successful run sets the stage for humanless commercial cargo trips between Houston and San Antonio in the coming months.
Is this too much?
Yes. Because it said it handled Houston traffic during sunset, and I was like, did it get the full Houston traffic experience? Because I can't handle Houston traffic all the time. And you talk less of a drive. Look, y'all believe it if y'all want to.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the last vehicle, motor vehicle that I want. Being automated. Do you imagine, I hate to be morbid, but the damage that can be done by a mistake?
Just for a miscue.
Oh my goodness.
You're right on the damage, but that's not what I was thinking.
What you was thinking?
They carry some cargo that is highly toxic and or explosive.
Also a great point.
explosive. You're going to put a petroleum driverless 18-wheeler from Valero or whatever going barreling down the highway to San Antonio.
And to be fair, like these things get dangerous with some of the I'm getting to see
this.
Dangerous with like real people when they're overworked and can't get the sleep necessary. That gets problematic as well. I acknowledge that. There's a lot of trust. And maybe I'm just doing the thing where, you know, we're all technologically averse and we get a little scared at things that we don't fully understand. Maybe that's what it is. But yeah, I'll be scared. Don't do that.
That's a little too much for me, man. Mm-hmm. That's a little scary. You at least have somebody in the car.
Yeah.
If anything, but nobody controlling it. It's just, I don't know. That's giving me anxiety a little bit.
I've always been a big fan of like these types of things, but that one makes me a little unnerved.
Yeah. All right, as I continue on the Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610.
Can I do the thing I'm not supposed to do and press pause here on the Mixtape?
Go ahead.
I just thought about the fact, you know how the Waymos be getting stuck sometimes? Do you know how bad Houston traffic could be?
Oh, yes.
If the semi truck gets stuck off some stupid stuff?
Yeah, just a malfunction.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry.
That will be terrible. Let me know if this is terrible to you. So there's some more interesting things going on in the city of Houston. We talked about the driverless truck. What about 3D printed homes? Have you heard about this?
Yeah, have. They've been trying to do this for like a decade at least.
Yeah. So here's KPRC2 with this update.
Imagine your next home getting printed by a robot. In Houston's hobby area, that's exactly what's about to happen. This is the soon-to-be Zuri Gardens community, the first 3D-printed neighborhood in Houston. Vanessa Cole is behind the project, 80 homes she designed to be affordable and resilient. Each home is 2 beds and 2 baths. They'll start in price around the mid to upper 200,000.
So we'll print a 10 by 10 foot wall in about 35 to 40 minutes.
What they're doing is they're printing layers. Now, for the house behind us here, they need 9 foot tall walls. They'll have to put down more than 200 of these layers, but they can build that entire first floor in roughly 4 to 5 days. And those walls, hurricane winds can't knock them down, flood water can't destroy them, and termites, well, they don't stand a chance. They're made from a special kind of concrete.
That's a byproduct of coal and energy generation traditionally, so there's a lot of, you know, recycled and reused materials already in the system.
By summer 2027, this could be Houston's most futuristic neighborhood.
Now, this is something, Figgy, I completely endorse and support, because this is what AI and advanced technology.
Uh-oh, Reggie out of it.
No,
now.
No, this is what
A's out. I.
This is what
he said that like common in one of them advertisements.
This is what AI and advanced technology is supposed to be best at and used for. You know, not like, you know, using it as whatever, some search engine that gives you wrong information, but like if you can program it the right way, I mean, it's probably going to come up with the cheapest materials, as you just heard there, maybe some of the strongest, you know, whatever products and the things you use, you know, to build the house. I think this is what it's designed to be at its best for.
Yeah, this has always been a thing that was very interesting in theory.
Materials, that's the word I was thinking.
Yes. There's been a problem with it consistently because, again, people have started doing this at least a decade ago. This is where my architecture nerd pops out. I can't remember exactly what the issue was, whether it was like, interestingly enough, like having the quality control of it, which you would think 3D printing it would work. But for some reason, like there's been an issue that has constantly stopped the notion of 3D printing. I'm interested to see and dig more into this story, if you could actually send it to me.
Yeah,
because I am interested, and I have been following the notion of 3D printing.
But wouldn't you agree, like, you know, cheaper materials, stronger materials, good designs down to the millimeter, you know, as opposed to some dude like, yeah, I can build that. And then you get the estimate, and then you get the who knows what materials they're getting, and all that. Yeah, I'm in on this.
And it might just be the idea that the machinery needed to do it, you know, having to set that up and make sure that, you know, obviously it all continues to work. I can't recall exactly what the problem what it was, but there has always been a problem. So I'm interested to see if they've been able to navigate that issue. But and construction having the hands and everything, I understand, ends up being an issue as well. But I'm very intrigued by the possibility of this.
Yeah. So we all in on this one, but not the driverless trucks.
Correct.
All right.
Yeah.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's a mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. Remember a couple months ago, we were talking about the prison break from New Orleans.
Oh, that's right.
Well, apparently it's another break in Louisiana somewhere.
Oh, boy.
Let's go to ABC 13 News here with that story.
Prison officials in Louisiana dealing with another escapee. After officials say there, three inmates broke out through a hole in a jail's wall. So take a look at your screen. This is the hole officials say the inmates squeezed through, adding that they used a sheet to climb up and through the opening before running off. One inmate was recaptured shortly after this escape, while another broke into a home, stole a gun, and we're told turned it on himself as officers closed in. This morning, police are still looking for the last missing inmate, 24-year-old Keith Eli. He was being held on an attempted second-degree murder charge. Ooh. As the search continues, an investigation is underway to look at the jail's security.
All right, we got to get this guy.
Yeah.
We got to get this
and
guy.
And what's up? Why everybody keep breaking out of these prisons in Louisiana? What they got going on?
I don't know. That's a good question. But whatever they got going on isn't working. It's not working.
Yeah. And they kind of labeled this as a Shawshank Redemption
there
type of escape.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully we get these cats off the street, or this guy off the street.
One guy.
Yeah, this ain't cute no more.
No, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
This ain't cute. And I recognize.
This wasn't as fun as the last one, Figgy.
It's not, but clearly is a issue going on with Louisiana and their prison systems, man. Like, I didn't know it was that easy to break out like that.
Apparently so.
And that was an old school one with the bed sheets tied, and they just climb on down there.
I don't think I could actually do that. Like the tying the bed. Well, escape period.
Yeah.
But like tying the bed sheets and doing the rope climb, I'm like, that sounds good in theory, but I feel like that's one of those things that's actually harder when you try and do it.
Mm-hmm. It is. Especially, or have you ever tried to climb up a rope?
Oh, we used I can't to, remember as a the kid, la- I used to do it.
Yeah. Y'all had to do it in gym and stuff. Mm-hmm, yeah. I can't remember the last time. So, I mean, it's one of those things where I've done it before. Like dunking. I've done it before. I have no idea if I can still get to there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 Hopefully we get this guy off the streets, man. Mm-hmm. It sounds a little scary right there.
Yeah.
All right. It's the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. I'll get you guys out of here on this. Remember the group Kid and Play?
Absolutely.
Lopez, you familiar with them?
Not really.
Did you ever see the movie House Party?
Yeah, back in the early 90s, the guy with the high
with
top.
Yeah, with the square top.
Yeah, Christopher.
Yeah. He was big.
Christopher
Reed. He was big for a while.
Yeah, Christopher Reed, also known as Kid, a Kid in Play. He was on the Breakfast Club doing an interview, and they asked him about his legendary hot top fade and what his parents thought of it when they first saw it, and this is what he had to say.
When you got that flat top and you came home with that, what did your mother say at that time? Like, right. What did your family say?
Well, my mother had passed by then, God rest her soul. So she did. I would have gave that white woman a heart attack. Okay, but I was raised by my Jamaican father, so he was none too pleased. He's like, your hair look like Abraham Lincoln's hat. And my father was not a proponent of the hip hop lifestyle. Yeah, you just love this black life, don't you? He never called it hip hop music. He said, yeah, just love this yoga music. And then after everything blows up, he retired. I took him to the dealership to buy him a car. He was like, I always believed in you. I always believed in you. Give me with a black Lexus with a leather interior.
That's the way it usually goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I always loved you.
Yeah, I always believed in you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Salute the Christopher Reed, aka Kid of Kid in Play.
What's he doing now? Does he still wear the hair?
No, the hair's long gone. But I wonder how, like, that's a it feels like a uniquely particular generation thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like every generation has some level of feel of that.
Oh yeah.
I've never stopped thinking, what is the modern generation of, oh, my parents just don't understand? Is it streaming? I think it's streaming.
Mm.
That's a good
like the
question.
Kids wanting to be a streamer.
I know back in my day,
influencers. You're gonna do what?
Yeah.
I'm a digital influencer.
I know back in my day it was the big clothes.
Mm.
Like my parents didn't understand me wearing a size 42 jeans.
Yeah.
Or just big shirts and all that stuff. The do-rags, they ain't understand the do-rags. Like, why am I going out in public with that thing on my head? At one point, it was the braids.
Mm-hmm.
It was the braids. Everybody trying to get braids, and it was just like, oh, uh-uh. You ain't walking around with no braids.
Well, I was thinking more in terms of, like, things kids do, but the fashion thing, what is, like, the crazy fashion thing right now?
I don't even...
Like if you go home as a teenager and say, or a college student, and say, yeah, I'm going to focus on my digital influencing, your parents are probably going to say, the hell you are. You know, go get a job. But it is a thing.
Yeah.
But in terms of fashion, what is the fashion they just don't get it thing?
Right yeah. I know, kind of speaking on experience, my hairdresser, my Lots lady, mm-hmm. as I call her, Reese, her son wanted to... he wanted to dye his hair gray. He got some real long locks. He wanted to dye his hair gray. She's like, absolutely not. Like, they had a full-blown argument. He's like, Ma, come on, Ma. Everybody else do. She's like, no, you're not dyeing your hair gray.
Yeah.
She was just like totally against it. So maybe, I don't know if it's dyeing your hair or what.
Yeah, I can't think of like,
I have
the
no
big
idea.
Fashion thing right now.
Yeah.
So the kids are actually starting to go back to the 70s look. Bell bottoms, a little bit of the 90s, according to the 832.
All right.
I've seen a little bit of that. Oh, man.
Mm. Bell bottoms, yes.
I have never felt more like somebody's daddy in this moment. Than like, what are the youths doing?
But is that something the parents going to be like, you ain't wearing
probably
that.
Like that.
Because even back in the day, the short skirts or mm-hmm. the short shorts. It's like, you ain't wearing that.
Yeah.
So I wonder what that is today.
Yeah, help me out, because I'm very intrigued and I just don't have a good answer. All right, that's the mixtape. It's at 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610 at the Figgy Fig. Social media if you see something that you believe to be mixtape worthy. All right, we're going to keep this going one more segment here in the loop on this Tuesday. We get ready to hand things off to the fellas of the drive. A little bit of news happening in the world of baseball, and it's not winter meetings. The Astros are having a change in their organization. I kind of want to talk through it here, Lopez, mm-hmm. if you don't mind. Let's do that next. Been a fun day here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Texans Ticket Tuesday. That ticket giveaway continues on in the 5 o'clock hour of the drive. We'll be handing it off to them here in a little bit, and also a little programming note for them. 3:20 p.m. is a time to recall. That is when the head coach of the University of Houston football team, the 9-win, in fact,
well,
University
go.
Of Houston football team, yeah. will be on with Ron and Clint and T-Mill to talk about his team's upcoming appearance in the Kinders Texas Bowl. So excited to hear about that and hear from him. And I'm sure you are as well, so that mm-hmm. you can make an educated selection in your college football bowl.
In the 45 games that I'm picking.
Sick behavior. I won't call it sick, but very intriguing news coming from the winter meetings outside of just like players and acquisitions and stuff. The Astros made an announcement not too long ago that they are selling all, yes, I did say all, of their minor league teams
mm-hmm.
to a group called Diamond Baseball Holdings. Which is a holdings company of a larger private equity firm. And I found this to be fascinating. Obviously, from the Astros perspective, the first question that comes to mind with anything like this or anything in general is why?
Yeah.
So, John Lopez, you as journalist, you as writer, when you hear that the Astros have sold all their minor league teams, the Sugar Land Space Cowboys, all the way down, right? Fayetteville, Corpus, Why do you think that the Astros would make this move?
Well, the easy answer is right in front of us all, and that's just money. I think that this private equity firm, and it's worth noting, I believe they have 40?
Something like that. They have a large portfolio of minor league teams under their purview.
Yeah, so they can approach the Astros, and I actually see the logic behind both of these. From the Astros' perspective, they are still going to be affiliates. It's not as if, you know, where are the Astros going to put their players? You know, their minor league players. No, they're still going to remain affiliates.
Yeah.
But the ownership from the Astros' perspective, you're getting, I'm guessing, a pretty dang good chunk of money, and you don't have the headaches as much of, I mean, you're still going to have managers and that, but of the day-to-day operations,
yes.
The stadiums, all that stuff is not going to necessarily, you know, fall in your lap ultimately. So I think it's a win for the Astros. Jim Crane's going to make a little money, which I know, you know, he and all of us, you know, like to do. I actually think from the minor league baseball perspective, it's good just in general, not even just the Astros, just minor league baseball. Because if private equity firms, as we established and we talked about today, are bad for like college programs because, you know, you're subservient and you're it's just not good for college.
I just don't understand because the idea of the private equity, it's a loan, right? It's right. Here's some money and then you pay us back with interest. College football, I just don't understand how you take that money in, how you make more money to then pay back that loan or that ownership stake. That's the part that I don't get.
But in this case, you know, you can streamline everything from management. I'm not talking about on-field managers, you know, from management to operations, to ticketing, to personnel, you know, I think it sort of makes it more consistent across the board in minor league baseball. If they have, let's say they have ultimately 80 minor league teams, they're going to make a lot of money because minor league teams by themselves don't. It's like, you know, OG sauce. All right. If I sell 20 bottles in a month, you know, that's just gas money. If I all of a sudden HEB says, hey, we want you to be in all our stores, even though you're making just a little bit of money on each bottle, it becomes a lot of money. Sure. So I think the same thing in this case, even though you don't make a lot of money owning a minor league team, if everything's streamlined and the operations are all in and you have the same management in charge of all of them and you're making a little money on their terms in minor league baseball with 60, 70, 80 teams, you're making a lot of money.
As someone who carries a pretty solid distrust of private equity in these spaces, because you know the track record has been that sometimes a private equity group comes in and they basically are trying to chop shop this thing and take it for parts. I don't think you can do that with minor league baseball.
Can't do it.
You
can streamline it.
I hope that the streamlining doesn't come at the cost of fan experience. That's the one thing that I ultimately hope. I want to bring this back to the baseball of it at the major league level, because I think that's where a lot of people care about it. Although I'm sure there's plenty of people that'll go to a Corpus Christi Hooks game or obviously a Sugarland Space Cowboys game and go see, you know, the players play. From the Astros perspective, you talked about it, you know, the money, not having to pay for the, you know, the upkeep of all these different clubs, these three different clubs at these different levels. Do you think that that at all changes Jim Crane's perspective? Because we've talked about him having an MO. Not signing 6 years, longer than 6 year deals, and usually having a little bit of a cap monetarily. Is there any possibility that the whatever he gets back in not having to spend that money down the line of the org chart, does that at all show up on the field in your estimation?
That's a great question.
Because I think that would be the thing for those of us on the outside that makes this more than just an interesting thought experiment, tangibly beneficial for the Astros and the Astros fan bases if that ends up being something that helps them in the marketplace when they get talk about players.
I'm actually going to say no. I think this is just a good business move for him. Makes a chunk of money. But the baseball, you know, operation, the baseball side, I don't think it's going to go unchanged. He still has his philosophy and his, you know, his payroll and all that. I think this is just Jim Crane saying, sure, you know, write me that check. You can have it, and we're still going to send our players there. Yeah.
Just making the, as the 281 probably rightfully says, more of a lease decision as opposed to having to own all these minor league teams. You can allow others to own them and still have your, you know, your organizational chart. You'll still have your managerial chart within there. Obviously, there's still going to be the affiliate nature of, you know, having
players. Because you're still going to send your managers, your coaches.
Without question.
You know, all that stuff.
But all the actual operations of it.
That's
no
what
longer
I'm talking about when I say streamline. Like, these 70 teams are going to be pretty much operated under one umbrella, which is going to, you know, obviously make them money, and make things more consistent across the board in these stadiums and you know, otherwise.
Well, I was hoping that maybe you would see it that way to where, all right, well, now Jim Crane and the Astros maybe a little bit more willing to. You're probably right, because I also wonder how much money is coming back in not having to be spent at that level from the Astros organization. One could only hope that that shows up, especially because did you see what Dana Brown said about like the interest or the lack thereof in minor leaguers? Like, it says a lot about where the Astros are with their farm system.
I think he's actually setting. I'm glad you brought this
up. You think that this is him kind of setting expectations or bluffing a little bit?
No, I think he's setting up an Isak Paredes trade.
Okay.
Because for those who don't know, Dana Brown is sitting there going, yeah, they're not really showing a lot of interest in our young players, which can certainly be interpreted the way you're talking about. But I think that's him sort of greasing the skids of, you know, and by the way, Ken Rosenthal did report that Paredes is being discussed with the Red Sox. I think that's him sort of, like I said, just setting the stage for a deal that's going to be not real popular around here.
Yeah, because I'm already trying to find a way to.
But I mean, somebody got to. You got to make a move somewhere, don't you?
Yeah,
you do. I just don't like that
or
one.
Or do you?
No, I think you do.
I think you do.
Because how many infield starters do you have?
Correa, third. You know, obviously, Pena short. Altuve is going to play second based on what he said yesterday, what Dana Brown said yesterday. And then Isak Walker.
Walker, and then there's Paredes. Right?
Yeah. So you got to make a move somewhere.
And they need pitching.
They desperately
and
need pitching.
I don't know. I mean, maybe the Red Sox, maybe that's what they try to do. But they got a couple pieces.
They want pitching and control of that pitcher.
Yeah. They want to start building themselves.
The days are done about them going to go either buy pitching.
Especially if you trade Isak.
That really bothers.
That's a step back.
That really bothers.
Doesn't it? Yeah. Someone earlier was texting in, and I don't think that they're wrong. Like, we are on the short-term timeline of how long is Jeremy Pena going to remain here. I just don't think they have the cojones to do it this winter, right? Like, there is an argument to be made. Scott Boras' client, he's stepping into his own as one of the better players in baseball, right? I think that there is a reason to look up and go, he probably is one of those Astros talents that ends up walking out of the door because they're not willing to do the go above 6 years and all the money.
That's how they do business.
And so if that's the case, are we in the window where you have to start thinking about, do you trade Jeremy Pena and would you make that move this winter?
I have tried to just accept it. I think Clint has tried to get me to just accept this is what they're doing.
But they got more minor league money now.
Yeah. I despise. And it is probably because I have come from and grew up with a team that had to pinch pennies.
Yeah.
They had to pick who they could keep or what they – and it is nothing that irritates me more than a team choosing to be – smaller mid-market.
Well, you can't be both.
And that's what they're doing.
No, you're 100% right. You can't be both. When it comes to spending, you can't say, hey, you know, we got a budget, and then want to be perceived as this major market, you know.
Well, we'll spend like hell for 3 years.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll go spend 95 on a closer for short. But like you're talking about Pena. I'm talking about that big joker that's your ace.
Hunter Brown,
Eventually.
Because where does it stop? Are they going to do it? They going to pass the buck on him?
I feel like if you can get this done.
He ain't taking a discount. I'm going to tell you that right now.
And that's the thing. If you can get it done early with a discount, it feels like this is going to be a constant churn. That's deeply uncomfortable.
I mean,
uncomfortable.
That's what Dylan Cease is getting.
Mm-hmm.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.